Well, hello. Welcome back. This is the Looking Both Ways podcast. It has been a minute. So glad to be back doing these. I mean, personally, I think that they're helpful. And I know a lot of people did engage with them. And so sorry for the hiatus. But we are back. We're back doing these. I'm sure Spanish is going to be back producing them as well. But as always, I'm with Pastor Rich here. And if you don't know what the Looking Both Ways podcast is, if you're kind of new to this, the Looking Both Ways podcast is a chance for us to look back at the previous week, what we learned on Sunday, because sometimes we forget as the week goes on, and then also look forward to whatever God is going to be having for us in the coming weekend. And so this is perfect timing because we just started a new series on Sunday. The decorations are out, and Pastor Rich, it is officially, I think it's culturally acceptable to say that it is Christmas. And so how are you?
I already got,
and
my,
how do you feel about
my
that
Christmas gift?
What's that?
I already got my Christmas gift.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we celebrate Christmas as early as like November 1st in my family. We're one of those. So, you know, Don't judge us too much, but you know, we like our Christmas in the Finch family.
Yes, well, yeah, my family's the same way. There is much fanfare to the Christmas, the whole holiday season. We do Thanksgiving first, though. We are very careful about celebrating the season specifically. So, you know, the late October. Then Thanksgiving. I don't know if you saw my stuff on Facebook. I put a picture up at our house. We have the inflatable turkey laying on the deflated Santa Claus, saying, "This is my day." I was like, "This is my day. I here I sit. I can do no other." Little play on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep.
I probably not too many other people will.
Yeah, it's all right. But hey, but no matter where you are, Thanksgiving is over and we are officially in Christmas and we're officially in Advent. So Pastor Rich, why don't you take some time and kind of explain our new series, Divine Arrival, that we just started, and then we'll get into a little bit of the Advent resources that we have coming out for you guys as we go throughout the Christmas season. Yeah. So yeah, take it away.
So Advent, it was the simple pragmatic answer is that as we were doing the preaching calendar last year, I wanted to do a Christmas series, and Advent fits one. It's 4 weeks, and you know, hope, joy, peace, love, and those areas. And so I was like, well, let me just do Advent. We don't do Advent in Baptist life. We don't really celebrate it all that much. We don't really do much with it. And so I was like, well, it's a good time to just to kind of introduce the concept and those things. And so we did that. I was interested also just because, and I actually had to learn a lot about this because I asked Pastor Carlos about how would they feel about the Advent wreath in the worship center and how they, you know, respond to it. And I was fascinated by the fact that in the churches, many Spanish churches, they don't really do much with Advent. And I thought that was interesting in light of many coming out of a Catholic background. And that's actually one of the main reasons they don't. But even beyond that, I had to dig a little further because I was just really inquisitive about this. I don't know why, it just kind of stuck to me. But as Protestant movements came into Latin America, the Presbyterian, Lutheran, Methodist, who do practice Advent, came in, and then there was Baptist, Pentecostal, the more holiness, more free church kind of, we would call them free church kind of movements came in. And in Latin America, those were the Protestant movements that kind of took over or kind of were more dominant. So if you came out of Catholicism or didn't go Catholic, you were probably Baptist, more Pentecostal. And if you go down there, that's just what you see a lot of, especially in Pentecostalism, totally on the rise all over the world, but much really down there too. So that's the reason. So it was kind of, you know, it's like, so, and they didn't want to really mess with anything that looked like Catholicism. So candles, any Advent, but, and so it was, I just found that fascinating to me for some reason. So I just learned something new. So we're doing it. And so we have the candle, we have the wreath we have it in 127 for the 8:30 service, as well as the, in 10:15, and just kind of walking through the things. And last week we talked about hope, This week will be about peace. And as you talked about before, I really want to try and connect to it. This little devotional that I found through a group that I read through a lot. It's called Soul Care. And they made an Advent kind of calendar. It's a simple question. They're simple questions. You're putting them out on social media. We're sending them out through our newsletter. Well, actually, we're sending them separate from our letter, but we're sending through MailChimp and try and get those out to you so you have them. It's not intended to be anything to take away from what you're already doing, but it is intended to just read a passage from the Christmas story and or whatever they give you, and then reflect on the questions. And the questions are, and the theme is around wonder, which is we don't talk this way. We don't usually think this way about things. And so, like today, for instance, the question was, what might God be birthing in you that invites both fear and wonder? Well, that's a question that requires you to sit down and have a little thought. and that's kind of the point. One of the things that I was trying, you were trying to do here. And the scripture is Mary being told by Gabriel that she's going to conceive a child. And so, which, you know, brings about her own wonders. You know, she treasured all these things up in her heart, and we read that about her. But wonder, the whole concept for the whole Advent this year is wonder. What does it mean to wonder? It's a word we don't use in that context anymore. Well, I wonder what time it is. Well, we use it that way, but to wonder and to think about and to just kind of prospect at different possibilities that can go on or what God may be doing in the life around you is kind of what we're trying to sit and do. It's trying to take time in this Christmas season to just sit down and think about those kinds of questions.
Well, when we think of wonder, you know, I think of dreaming. And why wouldn't you want to dream of heaven? You know, we actually just talked about this on the NG podcast. About why is Advent a good idea? You know, there's Catholic similarities and things like that, but really what we talked about is you remember the first Advent, the first arrival, which is what Advent means, of Jesus, and it propels you to expect, like, wait expectantly for the second Advent, right? The second arrival, and that shouldn't scare us, but if anything, it sure give you have a fear, right? But at the same time, you have wonder, you have excitement, and you get to dream of heaven, right? So yeah, I think we need to do that more.
Yeah.
So tell us specifically where the series started. So this past Sunday, we started the Divine Arrival series, and really, what was the big, like, kind of the big takeaways? Because unfortunately, like, I had a house full of sick people, so I wasn't able to even be here. So for someone like me, what are, like, the big takeaways?
Issues, Tim. Well, this week was about hope and how we hope in during this theme. We hope for, and how hope is the basic one line you want to remember is hope for the Christian is a confident expectation in God's promises and living that way and living for that thing. And so, for instance, we don't hope. I've made the example for me. I hope my Commanders were going to win last week. I didn't have much hope that they were going to, but I was hoping they did. And bless God, they almost won. They almost won in overtime. And I turned it off, which tells you how much hope I really had in accomplishing that. But it's, as Christians, our hope is in something that has been promised by God. And God has promised for us through his first coming, his first arrival, that Jesus came and did what he did. He lived his life. He died for us. He rose for us. He's ascended there. He's our priest now, but he's coming back, second arrival, and to do all the things that he will do to consummate the age. And it says that by faith, we have all of these promises. We have the indwelling of the Spirit. We're new persons. We're new creations. We have the fruit of the Spirit because we have the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And all of those things are promises that are things I don't have to wish I have. Those are things that I confident believe with all my heart that I have and are coming to me when that time comes, when God brings them to me. So that's what we live by. So we're to live that way. It's not a sense of hope with a chance of failure. God doesn't fail. We hope heaven is real for us. We hope for heaven because we know God said heaven is there. That's where Jesus is, and that's where we go. And we confidently live our lives in that direction. We hope for things that are tangible and real.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, the flip side of that is, you know, that's a reminder, because mm-hmm. the Christmas season, we put we put our hope in so many things that are going to fail us and that are not going to last. We put all of our focus on things that are temporary, you know, whether you're the kid waiting for presents or, you know, or whatever it may be. We have misaligned hope a lot. And so, you know, I think we wait expectantly and we hope in a future that cannot rust or fade away or whatever. And that needs to be the focus of Christmas. And I don't know about you, but to me, whether it has Catholic similarities or not, that seems like a pretty good, pretty good thing to focus on, as we enter the Christmas season. Yeah. Because I mean, answer, like, fill in the blank for you in the comments or whatever, but this Christmas, I hope blank. Most of us say, I hope I get time with my family, or I hope I get this or that under the tree, or
Christmas list,
I hope my team does well. I hope I get a good tax return, or just like whatever. And yet the things we hope in are so small and so temporary, to where this is reorienting our hope, and really spending time to make sure that our hope is pointed in the right things that aren't going to tarnish and fade away, regardless of our circumstance. Cause
our hope is eternal. And that's kind of what the devotionals are intended to do, is just to reflect on the eternal aspect of Christmas, because all of us get so caught up in all the other stuff that just takes our attention. And next thing we know, Christmas is here. And, oh, I guess there is a little thing about, you know, the closest a lot of people get to remembering Jesus at Christmas is they make a birthday cake for Jesus. And or if they go to a candlelight service, which is great. And we're having one, too. And but again, to reflect upon the whole season and to do that, and to rest in that kind of wonder for the whole thing. Cause you got to think about the shepherds out there in the middle of the field. And all of a sudden they're just coming along, and all of a sudden a bunch of angels start singing to them. I'd be wondering about a lot of things at that point. I don't know about you, but you know, and their response to that was to go find him and worship him. Christmas ultimately is about worshiping a king. And so we need to always remember that in what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, all of the songs that we sing for Christmas, we talked about this too. You can sing songs about Jesus coming back, and that, in my opinion, is still a Christmas song, because we're still waiting for a king. The king has come, and now we are also awaiting the coming king. And so, just a great, great perspective and great reminder.
One of my favorite songs that we did sing here a couple times a few years ago when it was for Building 429, Where I Belong.
Oh yeah,
I love that song because of what it says. It reminds us of something that we hope for. This isn't our home. This is where I belong. That's what Christmas really should be a reminder of us for, as much as anything. You know, Joy to the World is a song about the second coming of Jesus. It's not about the first mm-hmm. coming of Jesus. So people are like, really? I'm like, yeah, read the words.
Yep. We patiently await the second coming. And that should be, why do we just constantly look back at the manger? Well, it's because it's empty, and the next time he comes, he's not going to be coming as a baby. He's going to be coming as a fierce warrior. So good stuff.
I'm curious as a student pastor, I find this, you know, trying to get kids to think about the second coming when you're 18, 19, 17, 15, to think about the second coming is just not. It's like, well, wait a minute. I want my time to live in the gap between that gap too. So, trying to get them to think that way is sometimes can be a little struggle for them, because they want to live life now. That's where they're at in life. And so,
yeah. Well, and again, it's the struggle of Jesus, I want you to come back, but can you wait until?
Yeah.
Blank. Right. Can you wait until after I have done blank, you know? That's the thing, is like, well, I haven't even done X, Y, or Z before. So can you come back after that? You know, and I've actually said this, we actually talked about this a lot in our Experiencing God group. But if, if the greatest part about heaven is that you get undistracted eternal time with God, that's like the best part about heaven, is that you actually are in person with God for eternity. So if you struggle to have time with God, even like 10 minutes in your day, that's a struggle. Or if that's a drag for you, like it's just dreadful, you're not going to enjoy heaven. Like the best part about heaven is not a pool full of pudding. It is an undistracted time with God forever. And so same thing, like you got to have that perspective of what are you actually looking forward to in life? So where's your hope found?
A bigger purpose.
Yeah. But when your hope is found in the right things, it also produces what you're talking about this coming weekend. So what are we talking about this weekend?
Peace. I'm preaching from Isaiah 11, the root of Jesse or the stump of Jesse. We'll get to both of them. Verse one is the stump of coming from the stump of Jesse. And then it ends in verse 10 with the root of Jesse, kind of just expanding upon Jesus coming the first time. Actually, it's kind of both. He talks about the first and second coming. But we'll just talk about how to have, you know, Jesus came and he brought peace. So peace is a elusive term in our world today. So we'll just kind of talk about how to bring, you know, there's the peace of God. How do you live with the peace of God? We have the peace of God. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit that we have. You say, if you say I struggle with peace and you're a follower of Christ, then the problem is not that you don't have peace. The problem is that you're not allowing the Spirit to help give you that peace, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You don't need to pray for something you already have. I mean, so we have peace. We have peace with God. We have peace within us. And so how do we navigate that? Because, you know, the hecticness of life, the stress of life, much of it we bring on ourselves, produces anxiety. And the Bible is pretty clear that we're not supposed to have anxiety.
Yeah. Especially at Christmas.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's very little peace when it comes to Christmas. Just look at Black Friday shoppers or people that are trying to travel and trying to get stuff and presents and whatever. And yeah, it should be a very peaceful time, but yet we are the ones that make it chaotic.
We have to work to make it peaceful. I was having a conversation with another pastor yesterday, and we were talking about what we do or don't do at Christmas. And I'm like, you know, I said, for us, we're pretty quiet around here at Christmas time. It's we do a Christmas Eve, and then we do, you know, if it was Christmas Day the next day, we would have church the next day on Christmas Day. We've already done that. But I know some churches that don't do Christmas Day, but I'm too old. I can't do that. So it's, you know, we try and keep it kind of quiet around here because everybody's private lives is already running from one hectic thing to the next. And so I think kind of our job is to help bring that sphere of it, to bring the wonder, the spiritual, the not complicate things with big performances. I'm not saying those are right or wrong. I'm just saying that for me and for us, I'd rather do the devotional and do things like this and then end the year with the Vigilia than have a whole bunch of people spending 3 months working on a program that exhausts them, that only really, truthfully be told, reaches people who already know they're coming. Mm-hmm. And some people would argue with me that when I say that, but I think I'm pretty close to right, because I've certainly been through enough church cantatas and Christmas performances to know who comes to them. So that's kind of the approach we take. It's kind of a sabbatical, if you will. I mean, it's a sabbatical in the sense of how much our calendar is reduced. Because come January, we kick off like crazy, you know.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, but there's new things going on, right? Yeah. So, I mean, we encourage you, you know, with these podcasts, they're short, right? They're quick listens. You can listen to them on the way to work and just to kind of halfway through, like help you remember and look forward to what's happening this weekend. But then also, you know, with those social media posts, engage with those, comment on them, think about those questions, you know, really spend this time, spend this season wisely, because it's, we might not have a huge like Christmas program going on, but man, we've got great stuff that's coming out to really help you get through, and engage in the mission of God. You know, I think when you engage in the mission of God and you have that bigger divine perspective, it changes how you approach stuff like Advent. So take advantage of it, whether you have done it before or not. Maybe this could just be your first time. Maybe you just start with the social media posts, or maybe you are you know, doing your own Bible reading plan on the Bible app or whatever. And there's so many resources out there to really make sure you finish this year with the right perspective and then launch into next year.
Yep.
With the right perspective, making sure that your hope, peace, joy, and love are found in the right things. So thank you so much, Pastor Rich, again, for your time and just, again, taking some time to really to break down what this is. And we'll be back next week. I'll be videoing in from another state, but we'll still be doing this to break down what we talked about this past Sunday and see where we're going to be in the following week. And hopefully this is fruitful for you in your walk with Christ. So thank you again, Pastor Rich.
Thank you. What's happening, everybody?
Yeah. And have a great, great, I guess, intro into December. And we will see you this weekend.
All righty.
Have a good
one, everybody.